Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, November 11th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Maloff here. And welcoming into the studio right now, we are going to be talking with Ken Olam and Chris Peters. Ken, introduce yourself so the audience can put a name to the voice there.
Hi, I'm Ken Olam. I live in Marshfield and volunteer as a shrine clown with the local funsters. We're a clown parade unit, so we get out and our emissaries for the Shriners.
Excellent. Thank you for that, Ken. Appreciate it. And Chris, if you can introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Chris Peters. I'm also a clown. My name is Sparky. I've been in the Shrine for 24 years now and trying to give back what was given to me.
Right on. Well said, sir. And now this is we're going to talk about this extraordinary holiday tradition that with the Zohr Shriners Festival of Trees and more. If we could, fellas, before we get into that, can we talk about what the Zohr Shriners are? Just a little bit of that. Maybe those in the audience might not be familiar. Let them be a little more familiar with what this is. And Chris, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, Shriners around the world, I mean, started, well, 150 years ago. 100 years ago, they decided to start building hospitals and taking care of kids. So, you know, Zohr Shriners happens to be one of three temples that are in the state of Wisconsin. In Milwaukee, they have Triple I. In Green Bay, they have Beja. And then we're out of Madison. It's you know, the whole organization was built on fun and fellowship. And then we started our philanthropy of the hospitals. We built ourselves up to 22 hospitals, one being up in Canada, one down in Mexico City, and the rest of them are all in the continental U.S. But our focus has changed now. Today's technology has gotten to a point where most surgeries nowadays are done as outpatient surgeries. The needs for the hospitals themselves are not as great as they used to be. And we have some of our patients traveling, you know, for a day or two sometimes just to get to one of our hospitals. So they have a project called 2035 that hopefully by then we're going to be down to five hospitals, but we're going to have 300 to 500 healthcare clinics. And reach out into the areas to where we can reach out to more kids, take care of them.
You know, we have a lot of great organizations, a lot of great nonprofits out there, and we need a lot of them. Because while there are certain big topics out there that a lot of us think of, oh, we need something for this, oh, we need something for that. For every big topic, there are some gray areas that just don't get covered, that we don't have a chance to really talk about very much. I think Zohr Shriners, the Shriners organization, has made a history of focusing on a lot of those areas, a lot of the things that we don't get a chance to really put our attention to, as always, that they have put their attention to. And the idea of adjusting and kind of working and evolving your business model, if you will, for a nonprofit, that's something that I'm so impressed by with our nonprofits. I have every week I'm talking to either United Way or Encourage or different organizations, and each one of them adapt to the modern two times and just so that they can do the good work that they're doing. I really admire that. It wasn't always the case when I was a kid, and it's really impressive to see the where things go nowadays and adapting to that, to what a community needs. The Shriners have been doing this for a very long time and adapted to those things. I think that's really neat and unique and cool. And it shows, too, as well, that how you listen to your people, you listen to the communities, you listen to individuals, and well, where are we needed? Where can we do our best work? And doing something like that, I don't think a lot of our audience probably heard about that. I think I really appreciate that. That's very interesting, Chris, as far as what they're doing and how they're evolving. That's interesting. And part of that evolution is, I imagine, coming up with events like this. We're in our second year of this one. And while it's only the second one, it already feels bigger and more impactful than it was last year, which is saying something, because last year's was really big. So let's talk about the event itself, the Shriners Festival of Trees. What is this event? When is it taking place?
The event itself will start Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, run for 10 days. And it is sponsors and donors have donated a Christmas tree, fully decorated, with gifts underneath, a value of approximately $500 or so. And then we hold a raffle under our license to raise money. The event itself is absolutely free. We are reaching out to the community because the Masonic Center, where it's located, is collecting the canned goods, non-perishables, for the food pantries. And last year, they collected 800 pounds worth.
Wow, that's incredible.
That's the generosity of the people coming. So we aren't asking you to pay for anything. It's a great event. It's indoors, so it's climate controlled. You can come down, have fun, look around. We have a guest from the North Pole that's there at least a good share of the time. Mm-hmm. And he likes to have children and adults come and discuss their questions and maybe sneak in a hint or two to help him with his work.
That's it. He's a smart guy. He's all year prepping and planning for this stuff. He knows what he's doing. He's really got this down to a science, Santa. Also, nicely done by you guys. Pam and I have been trying to get Santa on the Midday Magazine show here for years, and it just never happens. He's got more important things like this to do. It's understandable. This is also the part of the fun of this event, too, is there's themes with each of these trees. Is that how it works?
Oh, yeah. Each business or individual sponsors it with a different theme. We have some that last year, the tree that I sponsored was done in a Dr. Seuss mode with all kinds of gifts for children underneath. We have some promoting the animal shelter, some of the businesses. It's their goods, their services, they're one of the ways they're very generous to the community because they appreciate the people that keep them in business.
Mm-hmm. You know, the theme of the tree is what makes up all the presents underneath it. So all those presents have to do with the theme of the tree.
Which is great. It's a great tie-in. Thank you for that, mentioning that. And with those trees and those themes, the people can bid on these. People can possibly, or not bid on, I'm sorry, can possibly add to them.
Well, what they do is we sell raffle tickets.
Yes.
And we have buckets in front of every tree. Not only do we have trees, we have wreaths, you know, good old Christmas wreaths. And we also, in the and more this year, you know, we bought so many decorations and stuff to make it look festive, but these were things that we use year after year, but the people were very interested in and wanted to bid on those too, or not bid on them, but put a raffle ticket in for them, but we weren't raffling those off. So this year here, we found a lower entry level for sponsors to where they can purchase these decorations. And we're raffling those off.
Very cool. Very cool.
So that's the and more this year.
Right. And the community loves raffles. If you're having an event, you have to have a raffle attached to it. I don't care what the event is. We love these. But I make that joke a lot because not only do we love these raffles, but we love what they're about. Where they are. It's a fun way of putting back into an event, putting into a cause, while also maybe getting some fun stuff from it as well. Then the raffle itself will be drawn as well on at the end of this event on Sunday?
Sunday afternoon, the 8th of December, 4 o'clock.
There's a beautiful backdrop for this, too, where you can taking this in indoors and everything. That's nice. That is a fun way of being able to take this into. Now, one of the things that I think that stands out with this event, too, and like a lot of our local events, they're all the things that the guys have mentioned here are all noteworthy and important. The idea of having an event that brings so many individuals from different walks of life together. Young, old, man, woman, it doesn't matter. And I will mention, too, coming out of the week that we have, it doesn't matter any political affiliations or anything like that. Like, none of that matters. All that matters is we come together as a community and unify, that we come together as individuals. There's certain topics that I'd like to think are pretty safe. You know, helping kids, helping our individuals. These are things that I don't feel like I'm going out on a limb saying these are good causes. These are important things. These are things that we can all get behind. It doesn't matter. And right now, more than ever, we need to come together. We need to unify and realize how we have more in common than not. That's all important, I believe. Another key part of this, too, and I will admit that this is one of my causes, personal causes, is hunger and individuals not being hungry in our communities. I love that this event has that a part of it. I also love the idea of mom and dad taking their kids to this event. They bring that non-perishable food item. And while the kids are all focused on the trees and the reefs and all the excitement of this, they see mom and dad dropping that item off. And so that individual, that child, grows up seeing their parents doing these things. And maybe they grow up, and more than likely they grow up, and they become those individuals to put back into their community. There is always these little opportunities for us as adults to teach kids, to show kids, hey, we're having fun. This is a great community event. We're going to see some people we haven't seen in a while and catch up and everything, while at the same time putting into our community and adding to the people that need it in our community. It's a wonderful opportunity for that as well. Along with having a great time. Let's get into this, because all week long people are going to be able to take in this event over at the Masonic Center. Is that correct?
Yes. We'll be open Saturday straight through. The hours are different during the day. It varies. We have some special events where groups can come in. So it's also an opportunity for the homeschooled. They can come in during the afternoon when it's not quite so busy. It's an in to go out for lunch, and after lunch, you know, we can get to this event before it gets dark and we can be home.
Yeah, that's nice. That sounds really nice.
One thing we learned last year too was that we needed to open up during the week a little earlier for the senior citizens, the senior centers. They like bringing the busload of people that love to come in. And they definitely want to do it in the daytime. Yeah. So this year we are starting opening the doors at 1 o'clock during the week, and
smart.
And to allow that. And you know, we had one lady last year that came in, well, that I know of anyways, 4 times, bringing different people with her each time. And of course,
that's
she had
great.
To point out all the trees.
Sure.
She put her raffle
tickets. Yes,
man. Which was kind of neat too. Yeah. And yeah, the people that came in, you know, they says, you know, I've been driving past this place for the last 20 years, always wondered what it looked like inside, and now they get a chance to see that too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really bringing the community together. It was amazing last year, the first year we did it, the response that we got, and yeah, it was just great.
Another thing that I've noted, I've been doing this job for a while now, one of the things that I've noted from the community, as well as the people that come in and I get the chance to talk to, these events, when they're first starting out, people love to be able to say, I was at the first, or I was at the second, or they'd like to be at the history of these events and be a part of each one of them and everything. So here's an event that you can get in on early. Now, this is only your second year of this. And one of the things that they love to see the evolution of these events and how they grow and everything. It's going to be wonderful to see, especially with this one in particular. I just want to get into some of the details real quick of the times and hours. Again, this kicks off November 29th, goes till December 8th. On the 29th, Black Friday, we'll go from 10 to 7. That Saturday, it'll go from 10 to 7, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. at night. Then December 1st, 11 to 6. December 2nd through the 6th, Monday through Friday, we'll go from 1 to 7. December 7th from 10 to 7. And on the 8th, things will wrap up 11 a.m. to 4, with the drawing being at 4. Keep that in mind, everybody, that ends up getting raffle tickets. Now, if an individual wants to get a raffle ticket, how can they do that, guys? How can they get a raffle ticket?
They will be on sale there. We'll have someone sitting at the desk in the front, just to the left of our main guest, Santa Claus, and they can purchase them there, get a little explanation, just take a tour of the trees, either before or after. There again, and this is all voluntary. This isn't, it's just an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And the event itself is so much fun to see the creativity of all the businesses and sponsors that come in.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. We have such a creative community. It's so cool to be able to see them just go to work and to have fun with these things, the creative side of this, yeah.
The one thing is, too, is that the desk that sells the raffle tickets is set on the far side of the room so that you get to come through and actually take a look at things.
Yeah. That's
and
good.
Decide whether or not you even find anything that you want to buy a raffle ticket for. It's not sure. like you're coming in the door and the first thing we do is hit you with the
smart
raffle ticket. So at last year we found people that, you know, they're like, I really don't need another tree.
Yeah, sure.
And they gave straight donations.
Yeah.
Which are always acceptable too.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very nice. So
because as you noted early on in the conversation, Chris, the work that the Zora Funsters that the are able to do for our communities, people want to be a part of that, even if it isn't getting a reef or a tree or something like that. It really does make an impact, and I think seeing these this in action is one of the things that really brings it out of people. This time of year, certainly, and everything. But honestly, I think you could have this event any time of year, and it's going to bring it out of this community. I know you two know this as well as many of our listeners out there. There are a few communities like the one we have here that give and give and give, and then they find ways to give more. We appreciate them so very much when it comes to these events and all the future events we have coming up. And when it comes to this event, encourage you to make plans. We do want to say a big, gigantic thank you to the sponsors, to every individual that is making this happen. So many people working behind the scenes to bring on this event. And certainly want to thank those at the Masonic Center for being able to, for letting us have this event there too. That is very cool of them. And I did want to mention as well, volunteering. If individuals want to volunteer or be a part of this, or maybe if not just this event, anything you guys are doing in the future, we can send them to the website. Is that probably the best way to do it? Or is there another, maybe I got a phone number here I can also give them of Steve that might be another, a good individual to reach out to. So the website is zorshriners.com, zorshriners.com. And for sponsor information, or if you are looking to volunteer, contact Steve Livernash. Steve's number is 715-325-5000. That is 325-5000. And again, the website to find out not only about this event, but to find out more about what our Zora Shriners do in our communities. And I think the history as well is very interesting. Looking into some of that as well, encourage you to go to ZoraShriners.com, ZoraShriners.com. And keep in mind, everybody, while this event is free, again, we are looking for you to bring a non-perishable food item.
That would be wonderful. As you say, the generosity is covering a need in the community that I don't think we'll succeed in filling. Mm. It's unfortunate that there is the need, but it's something that's going to be there as young people start out, as people run into serious problems in their lives where this is the first time that I need it, and I'm so glad it's there.
Yeah. Oh, well said. Yeah. Was there anything else that you guys wanted to touch on before we let you go?
Well, you know, the one thing is last year, our first year, mm-hmm. we started out with 12 trees. And we had, what, 25 reefs?
Yes.
And we were overwhelmed with the response. And because of that, this year at last count, we have 18 trees.
Wow.
We have the 25 reefs again,
mm-hmm.
and then the and more. So, you know, I mean, it's... Yeah, you've got a lot more choices this year, we'll be there with smiling faces and appreciate everything you, you know, and if all you want to do is come in and look and talk to Santa, you're more than welcome to do that as well.
We appreciate that and appreciate you guys, what you've done for our community, what you and your team do. Say hi to everybody for us. It's a part of this event and working on this. We'll make sure to be talking about it on our morning shows and making sure that we get a good crowd throughout the whole week for this event and get some of those raffle tickets sold. Thank you, guys.
Oh, thank you so much for having us. The Blue Lodge Shriners or the Blue Lodge Masons that are supporting this, they get their work out in the community through a whole different set of programs with the fire suppression tools, the defibrillators, the things like that that they sponsor, the community events, the bike rodeo in the spring. There again, it's kids emphasized, safety emphasized, community emphasized.
Mm-hmm. Really good things and really good work and a really good conversation. Thank you guys. Appreciate the time.
Thank you very much.
Again, you can find out more about this event and plenty more at ZoraShriners.com, ZoraShriners.com. We'll be talking about this event and coming up, and making sure that you have plans and make it on bookmark it on your calendar. And we'll have plenty more Midday Magazine coming up for you. Tomorrow, we will have Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce in with us in part one. And in part two, Realty Radio with David Farnborough. Wednesday, the gang from Family Natural Foods, Stephen and Katrina, will be with us, along with some friends of ours from Encourage. Thursday, we've got Extensions Anna Mitchell joining us. And we wrap up the week with Senator Patrick Teston in part one. And in part two, we will talk with Breakfast with Santa. We'll have Pete in to talk a little bit about that and talk about Breakfast with Santa. So we've got a fun week lined up for us. Want to thank our scheduler, Pam Hilke, for the nice work that she does week in and week out, and thank all of you for listening. You can find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Spread the show, spread the word here at Midday Magazine. More coming up on WFHR, locally grown radio.